Good morning, everyone. We're going to be in the book of Ruth, the Old Testament book of Ruth, chapter 1. Ruth, chapter 1. We're actually going to finish the chapter today. We will open in a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the word of the Lord. Father God, we thank you for this new year that you've given to us. We thank you that we can have hope. Not that things would go exceptionally well for us this year. We can have hope, not that things will be easy for us. But we who are in Christ have hope, because no matter what happens, you will be with us. You are our hope. You are our strength. You are a redeemer, Lord. And as we had that representation today, so we had the body broken represented by the bread, the blood spilled, poured out as a sin offering represented by the cup. That, Lord, that bitter thing that was done turned to such a glorious act that it would be applied to our very hearts and lives. Power me as I teach, Spirit, move among us, the people, today. Heal those, Lord, who are ill, who have not been able to come out, as there are many, and give strength and hope to those who are suffering. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. It's been quite some time. It's been quite several months now. Actually, I think it is about 7 months now, since when Sean got sick, and then I finished off 1 John and started Ruth. I honestly, the first message I preached in Ruth, I said, what have I gotten myself into? I have no idea where I'm going with this. The introduction was just the introduction. But as I studied and went through verses 6 to 22, it reminded me of why I wanted to go through the book of Ruth. Because in it, we see Christ as the Redeemer. The whole point of Ruth is the Redeemer. And here, believe it or not, we see a redemption story through Ruth, through Naomi, and through Orpah. So just a brief recap and introduction. Just a quick review of what's happened in the first 6 to 8 verses. There's only a few key points we actually have to remember as we study Ruth to fully understand the significance of this book. First, this book was set in the time period of the judges. You may not think that's significant, but it is actually quite significant, because there was a famine in the land. And if there was a famine in the land, it meant there was judgment from God in the land. So there was famine in the land, to which Elimelech took and decided to take his family, that it was better to take his family to flee from God's judgment on Israel and to take refuge in an idolatrous foreign land instead of staying under God's judgment and repenting with the nation. Elimelech's poor, sinful decision thus projected his wife and his two sons into ruin, despair, and more sin. Elimelech, sometime after he arrives in Moab, dies. And instead of the family returning to Bethlehem and Judah, the sons marry women of the land, which was another violation of God's command. Also gave the indication they had no intent of returning back to Israel. And even though they were not in Israel, God's judgment still came upon them, and the two sons died, now leaving three women who followed their husbands, now as widows. Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah were all now without husbands and without children. But when we last left off, Ruth gained a glimpse of hope as she heard that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. There was no more reason to stay in Moab, nearly all alone while she was in Moab. Naomi set out to leave and to return back to her people and her God. Now we're going to read verses 6 to 22 with that context in mind. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them. They lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why would you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your ways, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters. For it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. She said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. There's two primary things we see through this passage that we're going to look at. We're going to see Naomi's faith. Naomi's faith in the Lord. We see this from verses 6 all the way to 14. And at the end of the chapter, verses 19 to 22. And in between that, we see Ruth's faith. And in contrast, Orpah's lack of faith, her unbelief. The first thing I want us to note and look at is Naomi never gave up on the Lord. It says that the Lord had visited his people. Now, why did this stir Naomi to rise up and leave Moab? Why not after when her husband and her children died? Didn't she just say, "Forget it, I'm going home"? It wasn't until this point that she heard the Lord had visited his people that she decided to rise up from where she was and to leave and to go home, back to Bethlehem in Judah. We cannot know her mind. We cannot know what she was thinking because we're not told what she thought. But we can deduct a few things. We can actually bring out some logical reasonings that could be the reason as to why she didn't leave after so much despair and devastation happened in her life. Naomi was in despair. She was in despair. Naomi has lost her husband and children. Naomi has lost her husband and children. All she had now were memories of them, and even the sound of their voices have faded from her memory. And in today's world, we have pictures, video, like nature, objects, that keeps a reminder of those that we have lost. And those things help us to remember different situations, different events that happened with them. Naomi did not have any such luxuries. All Naomi had was the few memories she could hang on to, and quite possibly a few certain items in the house that she would have been that would have reminded her of her departed family, of her children, and of her husband. Furthermore, Naomi could take no comfort in the remembrance of her land or her people. When Naomi left, remember, there was a famine in the land. When Naomi left, her home was turning to ruin. And now that at least, as we see in verse 4, 10 years has passed without a word of what's been going on there, or a good word of what's been going on there, she could only have imagined how desperately awful the situation at home could have been. Why jump out of the frying pan and into the fire? Could have been her mindset. Then she and her daughter-in-laws had to live as it was day by day. There was no pension plan she was drawing from or government assistance. She and her daughter-in-laws had to scrape by every day and to eat and live and then just do it again for the next day and the next day and the next day. They had to live day by day. Lastly, Naomi was cut off from her people. She was cut off from God. She was now living in a completely idolatrous area, and no one, as we see recorded here, or is not told that there was anyone else, worshipped the Lord. There were no sacrifices for the Lord. There were no feasts to the Lord. And hence, she was isolated in the area she found herself in. She literally had no reason to stay, and in her mind had no reason to go. Another thing that can be deducted from this situation is her reaction to the news that the Lord had visited his people. Naomi had true faith in God, and she did not forsake God in her despair. But rather, when news came regarding the change of situation at home, her heart and soul had hope once more. There was no reason to stay, but now there was a reason to go home and to leave Moab, because the Lord had visited his people, her home, her land. If there was food being gathered, it meant there was blessing from God there once again. So she gathered her few belongings, got up with her two daughters-in-laws, and left. Now the logical question we see here, then she arose with her daughters-in-laws to return to the country, to her country from Moab, from the country of Moab, because they heard the Lord had visited her people. Why did Ruth and Orpah start to go with her? It's a logical question. They were home. Ruth and Orpah grew up in that area. They didn't have a reason to leave. They had family where they were at. They would have some support. Possibly gotten remarried. They grew up in the area. They could have gotten a different husband. They were still young. And I honestly believe it was actually out of a sense of duty that Ruth and Orpah wanted to go with Naomi. It was out of a sense of duty to take care of their mother-in-law, but also because of how Naomi has conducted herself during this immense time of grief. How often do you know someone bereft of their entire family? To be married into that family, to see them go through it. How she conducted herself, how Naomi conducted herself during that time, spoke volumes to Ruth and Orpah. I was speaking to an older gentleman quite some time ago, regarding the passing of his wife. He talked about the grief and despair, but then he realized, he revealed to me as to how a neighbor many months later had disclosed to him that he had been watching him closely after her passing. He wanted to see how he would act. He knew this guy was a Christian. How is this Christian going to react to this tragedy? Because this man acted uprightly, he didn't take up drinking, he didn't give up on life, he didn't begin a reckless behavior of any kind. He just took it day by day, trusting in God. And this neighbor saw it. Not only saw it, this gentleman had an opportunity to witness to him, to tell him of the hope found in God because of his reaction and his actions in this situation that God gave him the strength to do. I fully liken this the same way in Naomi's life, which Ruth and Orpah had seen. Now in verses 8 to 9, this is where we're starting to get into some of the meat of what is happening. They get up, they start going. They start walking down the road away from Moab. And then Naomi turns and looks at her daughters-in-law. Or maybe they're walking beside and she stops and she looks both ways at them. One on one side, one on the other, and says, "But Naomi said to her two daughter-in-law, 'Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me.'" Naomi begins to plead with her daughters-in-law. First, let's look at this. Naomi urges her daughter-in-laws to return to their mother's house. This would have been placed where they would have been safe, they would have been secure, and they would have been provided for. In Israel, Naomi knew that these women would be strangers and even shunned by society as they were Moabite women. They were outcasts, rejects in Israel's eyes. Naomi knew going to Israel would be a place of hardship for them. Secondly, Naomi prays for blessing in their future lives. Naomi prays for blessings in the future lives. As they have dealt kindly with her sons and with her. And this here shows us a glimpse into how close these women were. There was no bitterness. There was no resentment. There was love between these ladies. They drew close over the years, cared for one another. And now Naomi prays that God, her God, the Lord God, not some Moabite false deity, would give them blessings and prosperity. Once again, that reveals her faith still in the Lord. Finally, she prays that God would give them rest. She prays that God would give them rest. "The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." She wants them to have rest. She wants them to have peace. She wants them to have comfort from their husband's death so that they can move on and begin living again. Some parents can tend to blame others for the death of their loved ones. They can project any guilt upon someone else and say, "It's your fault." Unjustly so. But Naomi holds no such ill will against her daughter-in-laws. Subsequently, they kiss and they all weep because of the town of Moab is lying behind them. And the path to Bethlehem and Judah is laying before them. They know that this is not a "see you later." This is not a "see you next week," but a final goodbye when they part. There will be no more communication from here. No visitations. No contact ever again. And over this, departure, this thought of not seeing one another again, they weep. But then there's pleadings that get interjected here. They're all weeping, they're all crying. Ruth and Orpah go, they've been with Naomi through this thing. They're like, no, we're not going to leave you. We are going to stay with you. They have bonded. These three women have bonded through marriage and through dire grief. They do not easily want that relationship to be broken. And they express their wish to return with Naomi to Bethlehem. But Naomi makes it very clear why Ruth and Orpah should return home. Makes it very clear why Ruth and Orpah should return home. First and foremost, as we read the passage already, we are in verses 11 to 13. Naomi says she cannot provide any more husbands for them. Which means there's no financial security. And they shouldn't even wait to remarry. Go back, get remarried, she said, tells him. She's literally telling Ruth and Orpah, you're coming with me. You're choosing a life of destitution, a life of being single the rest of your life. There is no hope. Naomi has no hope. She wants to go back to the land with her people because the Lord is there and just live out her life. And she says, you're coming with me. You're not going to get a husband. You're going to be working hard the rest of your life just to eat day by day. There is no hope that she can produce any provider for these women. And that their lives would be one of destitute and alone. She does not want also for them to partake of the pain and punishment from the Lord anymore. They have been bereaved of their husbands. Why should they suffer more? She would be deeply sorrowed if they were to stay with her and suffer any more punishment the Lord would bring upon her and her family. Commentary I read, and I did not agree with them, stated that Naomi could actually be, at this point, trying to cover her sin. She knew, and as we're going to see this, she knew it was wrong for her family to leave. And she knew it was wrong for her sons to marry non-Israelites. That was a very clear understanding in Israel at the time. And one commentary is like, she was pleading with Ruth and Orpah to stay, so it's just one less testimony against her about her disobedience. I'm going to be completely honest in reading this. That is putting some pretty horrible motives onto Naomi that I do not see here. I see love, compassion, and a genuine concern for her daughter-in-laws to basically live life, to go back to get married. They forsook their land. Naomi and her family forsook her land, people, and God, sojourned in Moab. Her sons married women against the command of God, and hence taking them back there, back to Israel, would only be further testimony against their disobedience. However, once again, I honestly believe this was Naomi's way of saying, I'm just caring for you, not trying to cover any sin. And we see that when we get to the end of this chapter. Orpah took Naomi's advice. You see that? They cried, they wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and left. But Ruth clung to her. Ruth clung to her. Now this is where we see a shift in the story with the same thread. First we were seeing Naomi's faith. Now we see faith in Ruth. Faith in one who did not know of the Lord before. I honestly think of this, the passage in Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, of the sower and the seed. The only seed that produced good fruit that produced fruit of any kind fell on the good soil. All the other seeds got choked out. The seed that fell in the pathway, the rocky ground, the thorns, they all had the seed wither and die because it could not grow. Ruth and Orpah here are a plain picture of this. Both of them said, "We will go with you, Naomi." One of them left and the other stayed. The other clung. Let's look at first Orpah's lack of faith. Orpah kissed Naomi, once again showing that genuine love and care for her mother-in-law. She wept together with her, but then she turned her back on the road to Israel and her face towards Moab. Orpah returned to two things. Naomi gives insight to what Orpah returned to. She says, return to your people, or her people, and her gods. First and foremost, let's look at her people. Orpah returned to the customs, social standards, and the associated wants and desires of her people. Orpah would have had a glimpse of the different ways that the Israelites lived compared to the Moabites, just by being with Naomi. Yet Orpah, upon seeing the prospect of possibly being shunned if she went to Bethlehem of Judah, having to commit to changing her customs, her way of doing things, etc., etc., she didn't want to make those changes. Her heart desired the things she was used to and the social standards that she grew up with. She wanted to go home. But Orpah did not just look at the social side of things. She returned back to her gods. The false deities, the false worship practices that was where she chose to go back to. She chose to worship false gods instead of worshiping the Lord. She was not willing to put away the gods among you as God has commanded so many times. She went back to what she knew, what she loved, what her heart desired. But Ruth's profession here is very insightful. First and foremost, it says Ruth clung to Naomi. Ruth made it very clear she was not going anywheres. Okay? And no amount of arguing, reasoning, whether the reasoning was good or bad, emotional arguing, whatever, pleading, prodding, could convince Ruth to leave Naomi. Ruth's own profession here shows an inward change. Look at her profession. First, Ruth says, "Where you go, I will go. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. I don't care where you're going, Naomi. I'm going with you. I don't care what house you're staying in. It could be a cardboard box. I am staying with you. Your people will be my people. I am turning my back on everything I grew up with and knew, and I am going to follow you to your people and to your home. Your God will be my God." Ruth has grown up with false deities, and she says, "I reject all of that, and this Lord you serve, I will have him as my Lord. Where you die, I will die. I am staying with you to the very bitter end. You are bedridden. I will be with you there. I will never leave you." And she emphasizes this when she swears, or she promises by, not some false deity, make note of this, she swears by the Lord. She doesn't swear by the things she knows from childhood. She swears by the things she knows from Naomi. She makes a promise by the Lord, not some Moabite false deity, that if she ever breaks her word, then greater calamity was to fall on her than that had fallen on Naomi. That is one huge promise. If I ever break my words with you, Naomi, whatever God's done to you will be worse to me. And it was horrible what's happened to Naomi. Do you see this inward change of Ruth? Ruth is willing to forsake her people, her customs, and her gods. Ruth is turning her back on everything she knows, putting away her gods, never to be looked upon again, even willing to face being shunned and persecuted to follow Naomi and the Lord, even though she really has known all that she really has known from the Lord is trouble and tribulation, and the hope that is gleaming through Naomi's life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Ruth is showing here in her actions, through her actions, not her words like Orpah, that the old things in her life are passed away and that she is striving for what is new. So a question for you at this point, where do you stand? Where do you stand? If you're standing now with Moab behind you and the thoughts and customs of the world calling out to you, and having the unknown of the Lord, the God before you, where will you turn? Now, you're not physically in a middle ground like Ruth and Orpah. You're not physically standing on a roadway, physically able to look back and see Moab, and physically able to see a road that goes off to who knows where. And I'm going to be very clear here, there is no middle ground, as we see with Ruth and Orpah here. Ruth and Orpah prove to us there is no middle ground, that you're either for God or you're against God. Their decisions, make clear note of this, their decisions did not determine if they were going to follow the Lord or not. But their actions revealed their hearts, that they were or were not following God. Orpah's actions showed and revealed one of rebellion to the Lord. Ruth's actions showed one of repentance, of turning away from the things that God hated. Sean stated that when the Ark of God was in the land of the Philistines and God was punishing the Philistines, this was cause for the Philistines to repent. To repent of their ways, to turn to him for forgiveness, which they did not. Naomi and the life of Ruth and Orpah was cause for them to repent. And only one of them did. They saw a glimpse in Naomi's life of the God of Israel. And one followed Naomi and her God, forsaking all others. Now, in verses 19 to 22, we see the return when they enter home. Now, Lynette and I were discussing this, and she says, "I remember someone saying that when Naomi said, you know, she was determined to go with her, she said no more, that they didn't speak the whole journey home." Doesn't jive with it. We kind of chuckled about it. It's like, that doesn't make sense. Like, two people walking for a long time, traveling miles and miles, not saying a word. I can see the conversation being small because they were still much grief, much change. But they traveled together, side by side. It has been more than 10 years when Naomi enters into the town. And notice the reaction, okay? Notice the reaction. The town is roused. They are stirred up with the return of this one woman. Someone I can assume they all thought they would never see again. They probably assumed she was dead, or they were just somewhere else, they're never coming home. And she returns, and it's like, what? she returns with Ruth, this stranger. Naomi, remember, means pleasant or delight. My delight or pleasant. That's what Naomi means. And she rejects her name and calls herself Mara. Mara, meaning bitterness. Think of the contrast. Delight, pleasant, bitterness. Why does she change her name like that? She says it very clearly, that we cannot mistake the reason why she did this. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. So we ask the question, how did the Lord deal bitterly with her? And she is very clear. She says, first and foremost, I went away full and the Lord has brought me back empty. When she left 10 years before, she had money, she had a family, she had future, and she had hope. She had a husband. She had two boys that she was looking forward to having grandchildren through that she could bounce on their knees, on her knees. She has returned now without any natural family and completely impoverished. Where did she hear that the Lord had returned to people? She was in the field gathering her daily supply of food. She had nothing. She comes back empty-handed and without family. Second thing she says is, the Lord has testified or answered against me. The Lord has testified or answered against me. She knows leaving was wrong. And God has answered her family's disobedience with severe punishment. And then she says, the Almighty has wrought calamity upon me. The Almighty has brought calamity upon me. She is broken by the Lord. Her life is in pieces. She's empty. She's hopeless. Naomi could be now likened to an apple. Okay? Analogies are not perfect, so take it as it goes. But think of a golden, delicious, fresh off the tree apple. How beautiful it looks. One without blemish, without the worms going through it. And you know, if you were to bite into that apple, it would be crisp. It would produce an aroma that would be so wonderful. You're eating, you get the wonderful taste in your mouth and the smell. Naomi could be likened to that apple when she left Israel. But if you took that apple or gave it to a young child, as anyone with young children know, that apple is going to be on the floor. And it's going to be kicked around. It's going to be battered. And when you find it behind the couch a month later, has happened, okay? That apple is going to be bruised and disgusting. It's going to be rotten on the inside. That is how Naomi feels. She went out full and crisp of vigor and vitality and comes back dead, hopeless, familyless. Naomi is right when she says, the Almighty has brought calamity upon me. Yeah, how does this show Naomi's faith? Because I said that this is a continuation of Naomi's faith. How does this show her faith? How does telling these women in town that she's been beaten by the Lord show us her faith? Is this not likened to Job when he complained to God? Or Elisha when he prayed to God to take his life away because the queen threatened him? Is this not self-pity or a woe is me statement that she makes here? Not at all. And in fact, all commentaries, nearly every commentary lines up with this. Even the ones I didn't like. They say that Naomi is accepting the punishment that God has brought upon her and her family. That Naomi knows there is nothing she can do to fight against the Almighty, and he will do what he sees fit. Naomi knows and believes that God has brought all these terrible things into her life. She has accepted it and not fought against it. Naomi has resigned to live the rest of her life under the Lord's hand and not to complain about it, but to just live out her days until God finally takes her home. Think about it. How great was her vexation of spirit? How deep did that thrust of that wound go? Did she lose all sense of hope and joy? Or all sense of hope that joy can be in her life once again? At this time, coming home at the start of barley harvest, she would have seen life flourishing only to be a reminder that her life was withered. Where there was normally, there would be joy upon arriving home, Naomi only felt grief and pain. John Gill gives insight to this statement that she gives to the ladies. John Gill says this: she seemed therefore to be humbled under a sense of sin, to consider afflictions as coming from the Lord on account of it, on account of the sin, and submitted to his sovereign will. Notice that, submitted to his sovereign will. The affliction she means was the loss of her husband, children, and substance. So in conclusion to this, the first chapter starts with the family leaving desolation and calamity for the hopes of prosperity and flourishing, yet only to find that the very desolation and calamity they tried to flee from has found them. Yet here at the end of the chapter, Naomi returns with Ruth from death and despair to find life and prosperity. While walking the road home, she would have seen fields flourishing that would have been wilting when she left. Structures rebuilt that would have been broken when she left. There is now hope in the land where there was none before. Listen to verse 1 and the comparison of verse 22. This is no accident it was done in this way. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Now listen to verse 22. Now, so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Look at the comparison. Where they came from, where they came to. From the famine to the harvest. There's two applications I want us to make here today. Two applications. First and foremost, this is for men, fathers, leaders of your home. Your decisions that you make will have long-term effects on your family members. When making hard decisions, seek counsel. Have a biblical basis as to what your decision should be and follow the Lord in whatever decision is made. And likewise, ladies, mothers, wives, nurturers of your home, your unwavering loyalty to the Lord, to God, your understanding of Him and His Word will get you through even the worst of circumstances. We are all to trust the sovereign and holy God, as we are so clearly reminded here today and last week. Secondly, repent. If you're only giving God lip service like Orpah, turn from Moab like Ruth. Look to God for forgiveness. If you are following God and yet have made sinful decisions, be like Naomi. Turn back to your homeland and to your God. seek repentance and forgiveness, which can only be found in Christ. Ruth and Naomi both knew that only hope could be found in the Lord. And whether for good or for bad, prosperity or destitution, the Lord would remain their God.